Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
I want you to know that the mothership has landed.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
What's up, my brother? I want permission to come aboard the mothership.
Asking permission to join a sports talk spaceship? Well, we're all a little crazy. The mothership has connected.
Let's go.
Happy Thursday to you, North America. The mothership has connected. Welcome aboard. It's the 4-hour Milky Way Mixer. DA with you from the CBS Sports Radio studios in New York, broadcasting to affiliates nationwide and north of the border. Anchorage to Atlanta, Boise to Baltimore, Kalamazoo, and Waterloo. We are on the air.
They listening, D.A. Everything we saying, D.A. Everything.
And we come to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. Home is more than a house. It's a personal paradise. Get yours with a Rocket Mortgage. Push button, get mortgage. How we doing, everybody? Thanks so much for joining us. Big show coming up for you. Throughout this month, we are spotlighting the players, the coaches, the teams that have been most memorable throughout NCAA tournament history. Even without March Madness, we deliver you a daily dose of March. And today is no different. Let's go back to 1982, when the legend of Michael Jordan was born. For the Tar Heels, knocking down the jumper that put the Tar Heels ahead in the waning seconds of the 82 National Championship game against Georgetown, MJ knocked down his first clutch shot and put himself on the national map. We'll talk to Matt Doherty, who was a starter on that UNC team. Following that, coaching career, long coaching career, including being the head coach of the Tar Heels. Matt Doherty is going to join us here on the show coming up later on in the program for our Madness of March segment. Also this morning on the show, it was Peyton Manning's 44th birthday this week, and so we will take a walk down memory lane with Peyton Manning, and we will see, or we will dissect and rank, personally for me, what I think Peyton Manning's top five moments all time are. And it's not just easy like putting his couple of Super Bowl championships up there. No, no, we're really digging into this thing. Peyton Manning's greatest five moments coming up here in about 40 minutes from now. We have also Stunned to a News coming up in hour number two, as well as this date in mothership history. We've also got Bruce Arians seemingly throwing Jameis Winston under the bus, even though maybe he didn't mean to. We've also got this report that perhaps the NFL could expand the draft to 7 full days this year. Would you watch a draft where every day was only one round? And today being the day that Major League Baseball should have had its opening day, the guys at Mission Control are bagging on me because I have no jerseys left to wear. We shall discuss a little bit later on in the show. Plus, we are back to talking some fishing from Major League Fishing. Ott Defoe is going to join us here on the show as well. People say, well, there's no sports going on. Well, there was fishing. We shall discuss all of those topics on the docket for you today. As always, hit me up on the phones on any of those topics or anything else at 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4227. Or follow me and tweet at me, DA on CBS. But let's begin with Major League Baseball's plans to potentially come back. In the middle of, obviously, this coronavirus shutdown and the sports world going dark and most of our communities also going dark for the time being, Rob Manfred was on SportsCenter last night with Scott Van Pelt and discussed some best-case scenarios and worst-case scenarios. Rob Manfred sounds like a man motivated to get a baseball season in, and that's a good thing for all of us. Certainly, if you're a sports fan, you just want something, just any games, and you certainly want to believe that there's enough time to get a full baseball season in, because if you start letting your mind wander into, well, does that mean we're not going to be normal until September or October? Then it starts really freaking you out. But I think more than that, baseball returning would just mean a step towards normalcy for the nation. Even if you are not a sports fan, seeing things get back into motion would at least give people an emotional lift. And I do think that's one thing. We all realize working in sports, it's not life or death. But one thing that this shutdown has proven is that from a psychological standpoint, from a normalcy standpoint, from an escape or diversionary standpoint, sports is remarkably vital to our society. It just is. So baseball getting back would be great for baseball, but it would be great for us. And I heard some listeners and callers bring up a connection to 9/11 earlier on After Hours with Amy Lawrence. And anybody that lived through that can remember that for the week and a half, 2 weeks after 9/11, it felt like you could not play sports. It just felt too tragic and too hollow and too superficial. But man, when they came back, they meant everything. When they came back, it was such an exhale. Normalcy, just some vestige of normalcy. So baseball would represent that here, as would the NBA playoffs, as would the Stanley Cup playoffs, as would a lot of other things. But for baseball, they're trying to figure out, hey, when do we restart and when do we end this thing? And there were some really good things, I think, if you're an optimist about baseball, that Manfred touched on last night. Maybe one of which that might have floated under the radar for a lot of people. What's MLB's best game plan moving forward? It is where we begin your cold open.
We're working with CDC, the World Health Organization, and we have four infectious disease specialists from universities around the country, including Columbia, Duke, that are giving us advice on what they think the course of the pandemic is going to be and what the outlook is for returning to a more normal situation. We announced a couple of week delay originally, and shortly thereafter we realized it was going to be much, much more than that.
I don't believe it!
The most amazing, sensational, dramatic, heartrending.
It's DA's top story.
Here he goes!
It's your cold open.
So there's been some funky proposals thrown out there. We talked about this on the air, that baseball would be tinkering with the idea of playing neutral site playoff games. Perhaps the World Series, perhaps the ALCS, NLCS, World Series altogether, perhaps all of the playoff games, because they are tinkering with the idea of pushing the season into November, and then cold weather sites obviously would be rendered useless, because who's going to sit out in Chicago or Cleveland or New York or Boston or other really cold weather sites at the end of November to watch a baseball game at night? Not really going to happen. Not the best, smartest idea. Scott Boras floated the idea of pushing the season so far back that it actually intersected with Christmas, that you could have Christmas Eve games or Christmas Day Game 7 of the World Series. Here's the phrase, as Rob Manfred described, what is his best-case scenario, what was his worst-case scenario moving forward with SVP last night. He said, best case, what we're optimistic for, is that we get going sometime in May. Maybe it's early May, maybe it's mid-May, maybe it's late May, but that is our best-case scenario. And If I asked all of you right now, would you sign up for baseball beginning in May, even if it meant end of May, everybody right here would sign up and say, absolutely, hallelujah, let's get there. That means we're a little bit more than 4 or 5 weeks away from at least smelling baseball, smelling sports. We can do that. If we're talking about playing games on Christmas, I think we've gone a little bit too far, and that means we've either tried to squeeze in too many of the 162, or we've started this really, really late. I think best case scenario for baseball is to start Memorial Day. To me, that would be amazing, even if it's just after Memorial Day, and we started getting games in June. That means June, July, August, September, even October gives you a 5-month season. You start the playoffs November 1, right after Halloween. You have a month of the postseason. You play those largely in neutral sites. Perhaps the first round, the wild card round, you could play at home sites because those could include cold weather scenarios, cold weather cities. And then once you get to ALCS, NLCS, maybe even the DSs, certainly by the World Series, you play them at domes, neutral sites, the California parks, Dodger Stadium in Anaheim, Petco Park in San Diego. Globe Life in Dallas now has a roof. You can play in Miami, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. The one phrase that Manfred mentioned last night that I latched onto was, if we didn't have a season, worst case scenario, he said it would be a financial hardship on our players, but then he said it would be a massive financial hardship on our owners. Now, I think we all take things with a grain of salt when it is about owners, billionaires crying poor. But if this is either the truth, that not having a full season would be a massive financial black mark for the owners and hardship, okay? If this is the truth, if the owners look at this and say this is a massive financial hardship for us, if we are paying operating costs for a team, salaries, etc., and don't get a season in, then it tells you that the owners are desperate to get a season in. And you could understand why. That's a lot of television content. That's a lot of attendance. That's a lot of games. That's a lot of opening up your gates for people to come in and spend money. If the 30 MLB owners are looking at no season as a massive financial hardship, they'll find a way to get things done. They'll play doubleheaders. They'll condense the season. They'll play 120 or 140 or 150. They'll get neutral site games and they'll figure out a way. And that gives me hope. Certainly not getting baseball underway at the risk of putting people in danger. No, that's not what I want. But if we want games to come back, we want the owners to be looking at every single possibility to make sure they have exhausted all of those roads. And if Manfred was telling the truth last night, it would be a, quote, massive financial hardship for our owners not to have the season played. It means they are finding the way to get this thing done. That's a good thing. Here's your phone number, 855-212-4227. 855-212-4CBS on Twitter, DA on CBS. Mraz, would you be cool with watching the World Series on Thanksgiving?
I would not be. I think it would be a mistake. Now, that sounds like a travesty right now because...
No, I'm talking about Thanksgiving, not Christmas.
I agree. But by the time we get to that second week in November, and I know we're all starved for anything sports, if we know that baseball is playing in November, that means football is playing as well. And I'm sorry, once you get past the second week in November... Yeah, I'm going to watch the World Series because I love baseball, but let's be serious here. Nobody else is. Football's on. You cannot compete with football past September and October. You just can't. So all that financial hardship, especially if you're not having the fans in the stadium and you're playing at neutral sites, who's going to go to these games on top of who's going to watch them?
Okay, but I don't think that's so important in terms of who cares. I think that baseball just needs games played because they have television contracts that they have to fulfill. So if you're asking me, do I think people will watch the World Series as much as they normally would if it was in October? Maybe not. But I don't really think that's the question here.
Well, I also, okay, so I want some finality, and I think you want some finality. We were talking about that yesterday on the show, right? There's no finality to the NCAA season. We're hoping for finality to the NHL and NBA season. So obviously we would want finality with the baseball season. We want a champion crown. So just on the surface, I agree with you. But see, I think if they're playing into late November, December, that doesn't mean they started baseball in September. That means they probably started in June, July, and they're finding a way to greedily get 150 games in. I think this MLB package, if you're going to start or plan and hope, let's just say you start in July instead of June. Let's not even go optimistic. Just play out the string of July, August, September, and play it like a half season. Play the 82 games. You don't have to extend this into November or, dare I say, December, because you need to play as many games as possible. Now, you start the season in September and you just want to salvage something, then I could lean towards, I get it. You have TV contracts, you want to play the playoffs, you want to play the World Series, I understand. But I think if they're playing beyond the second week in November, my guess is they didn't start in September. It's because they want to push the envelope and get as many games as possible, and I think that's ridiculous.
Okay, so I do think that when you talk about having multiple doubleheaders a week, yes, my guess is it's for total television content, but also perhaps for the players. The players might be paid, this is just my guess, on games played. And so the players would want to play as many games as possible as well. That's just my guess here, because why would MLBPA agree to multiple doubleheaders every single week? But if we played the World Series mid-November, I mean, you want to keep some integrity of a season. So let's just say you can get to 100 games played and play the World Series in mid-November before we get to the World Series in Thanksgiving. That's only 2 weeks later than it normally is. Isn't that okay?
Yeah, that's why I'm saying the second week of November. I'm fine with that. I think once you start pushing to the point where you're now playing baseball when we're getting to the bread and butter of the NFL season, the very end of college football, I think that starts to become ridiculous. And I'm only okay with that if baseball's first weekend is Labor Day weekend and we just gotten a crash course of something for 2 months. But again, I think there's a lot of greed involved here. And I think we're going to go into overload. And I know that's hard to imagine right now with no sports going on. If we're getting to Thanksgiving night and I got to choose between whatever bad Thursday night game the NFL picks and the Dodgers playing the Rockies in an NLCS.
Pete the Body, I want you to mark this tape, because we will definitely play this sometime in October when Mraz's Yankees are four games back with seven to play, and he's going, come on, they should expand the season. Why are we only playing 96 games here?
No. I'm trying to be realistic here. I think this is all about greed. I don't want to hear about the owners complaining like this. If you're starting a season in June or July, you can end it on time. Stop it.
I can't wait until there's Piggy Doodle Dandy in early November. You go, let's go, Yankees World Series, Thanksgiving night, let's go. I can't wait to have turkey all over my face. I can't wait to have gravy pouring down my chin and seeing Aaron Judge of the plate in the Fall Classic. Let's go.
Yeah, I'll be happy, but there's going to be a part of me that's ticked off if the game's played in Miami and I'm not getting to hear everybody cheering in the Bronx. That's going to be ridiculous. We don't need neutral site games in late November or December if you start the season in the summer. Stop it with that.
But that might end up being the only way to get this in. I mean, what happens if the only way to get the World Series in is in November? Are you really ready for games in Chicago and St. Louis and Cleveland and New York in mid-November at night for fans to go out and watch?
Well, if you're playing till Halloween, what is the difference on two more weeks?
Okay.
Well, I understand the difference on four more weeks. We go to football games, don't we? We have 80,000 packed in to Giant and Jet games in November and December. Why can't you show up to Yankee Stadium bundled up?
Well, you're making a huge difference between mid-November and late November. In fact, like 10 days. You're like, okay, if we play the World Series on November the 15th, I'm totally cool, but on November the 26th, no way, you can't do it, no chance. You're also drawing a very hard line.
Well, hold on here. Whenever there's a weekend coming up you want to do something, who's the person you ask about weather? Who is it?
I do ask you.
You ask me. I track the weather. I'm an original Al Roker on the show, okay? I'm the weatherman out of everybody. That transition week from the second week to the third week in November is a pivotal point in the northern calendar. That is where we turn from fall leaves falling to the possibility of snow falling. You can't play into the transitional week. I am the meteorologist of the show. You listen to me when it comes to weather. Don't push it past the second week of November or we're in real trouble.
Yeah, Mraz puts the meat in meteorologist. Okay, moving forward. Yesterday, Zach Gelb, as his show, put out a Twitter poll. Which CBS Sports Radio show would you most want to be quarantined with? We were put on that list. Pat McAfee's show was put on that list. So was Jim Rome. So was Tiki and Tierney. It gave Pat McAfee a reason to talk about our show. I have not heard of this audio, but we will play that coming up here next. That's part of Soundcheck. The DA Show, CBS Sports Radio.
Value, big upside.
I'm all about DA. Very smart, very talented, love the kid's process, works it hard, cares about the show, grinds. It's about the right stuff, man. And he's a good dude.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
All right, so that's a colleague saying nice things about this show. I think we might have the opposite coming up here. Our toll-free line is 855-212-4227, sponsored by Geico. Whether you own or rent, Geico makes it easy to bundle home and auto insurance. Having a home is hard work, so get a quote at geico.com. That's easy. There's so many ways you can listen to the show, but you can also watch the show as well. Watch the simulcast every single day. Just because these are difficult times and the show has a lot of moving pieces these days, fear not, we still have your simulcast going on. So you can watch it at watchda.com, the wizard of watchda.com, Andrew Kaplan pressing buttons, pushing levers, and vice versa as well. Watchda.com, that's available on any device for free, and it's available on the radio.com app. That's a free app as well. You can listen to the show live, listen to it in archived fashion like a podcast, and also watch the show as well within the radio.com app. Tis time for your best audio of the day. It is Soundcheck.
CBS presents this program in color.
An educated person can't think he's going to get a recruit by strippers coming in.
They can fire you, but they can't eat you.
And they run through our ass like through a tin horn, man, and we could not stop them.
The audio you need to hear. It's DA Soundcheck.
So yesterday, the Zach Gelb show posted a Twitter poll. What CBS Sports Radio show would you most like to be quarantined with? And it was us, the Pat McAfee show, the Jim Rome show, and Tiki and Tierney, because you could only have four possibilities, four different entries on the Twitter poll. So I believe this led to a conversation on Pat McAfee's show about us. Let's play that clip.
I was listening to the DA show, waiting for your show to come on today, and he mentioned that there is a poll out there for the best CBS sports radio show, and you guys are tied with DA right now for number one spot.
Who guessed?
We didn't even mention it.
So here's what I'm thinking, man. You gotta get some votes in. Let's promote that thing, and so we can put you guys on top of DA.
By the way, we don't know where the poll is, but if you get bored enough to vote for that, we'll flex it. We want it. If we lose, we'll just never talk about it. Mm-hmm. I like DA show, by the way. It's not my style. Like, it's not like a show like this at all. It's not like our show at all, which our show is just a bunch of babbling idiots about things. But I enjoyed meeting DA down at Radio Row. A lot different interaction than I thought it was going to be.
Danny Amendola.
Yeah, it's Amendolara.
Oh, good wide receiver.
It's Danny Amendolara.
Damon.
Damon Amendolara. DA. He just goes by. I know him by DA. Mm. He's on DA. Before us. After us, I think, is Rome. We're sandwiched by Titans.
Okay. That went better than I thought. Somebody had told me that it was actually not very complimentary, but Pat seemed very complimentary there. We did have a good conversation on Radio Row, so that was good. Okay, I guess the Twitter poll... the Twitter poll's not, I guess, all that important, which is understandable for Pat. But, okay, that was... I don't know, people made that out to seem like it was way worse than it was. Mirage, that was not what I was expecting. People made that seem like they were taking shots at us.
I would definitely say I was misled by the audio, but at the same time, I mean, rolling the eyes of who cares about the stupid poll? Oh, we're not going to mention it on our show. Come on, take a lap. I understand. It's not like we went out of our way and led with it. Somebody brought it up and it popped in our timeline at the end too. But don't act like you're bigger than doing the poll we're doing. And you think Rome's after you? Can we know the schedule here, please? It's Jim freaking Rome.
Oh, boy. So why are you needing to throw gasoline on the fire? Pat said nice things about this show.
He did. I give
him
credit.
And now you're taking shots at them. See, that's not what I want to do here.
No. I'm not taking shots, but come on.
You did. Just take a shot. Don't you know when you even take a shot? Don't do that.
I take so many shots, I don't even know what's a shot anymore.
Seriously, don't do that, because then you get me in trouble.
No, I love McAfee's show. Does a great job. Great punter as well.
Mike Breen is the longtime voice of the NBA. And when he gives you a social distancing PSA, you have to listen. Here's Mike.
Hey, everyone. Man, do I miss NBA basketball. And I know you do, too. And I can't wait to get back to a packed arena where we watch our extraordinary players do extraordinary things. But we have to play our role. And I know you're tired of hearing this, but wash your hands. I mean, wash your hands. 20 seconds. Lots of soap. Lather up. And don't be touching your eyes, your nose, and your mouth. But most importantly, practice social distancing. It's not just some phrase. It's our way of life right now, and we have to practice it. So please do your part, and we'll get back to doing what we love to do, and that's watch NBA basketball, and for me, it's call NBA basketball. NBA together. Bang.
Yeah, we really need Mike Breen calling games again. We really are desperate for Mike Breen to be calling games and not dribbling in his driveway, hitting a shot and doing a PSA on his iPhone. Can we please get the NBA playoffs here? Because we need Breen in that role. Although, when Breen says anything, you just tend to listen because he's got such a cool, calm, collected demeanor. He's such a good play-by-play guy, such a good broadcaster, that when he says, wash your hands, you're like, you know what? I should really wash my hands. When I say you should wash your hands, people are like, whatever. When Mike Breen says it, it's like, yeah, you know what? We should really listen to that guy. That guy, he's got some je ne sais quoi. He's got some credibility. We should listen to that guy. I'm like, you know what? Everybody wash your hands. Social distancing. And they're like, what was that idiot saying again? And finally, here is Ron Rivera, who says Kyle Allen, who they just traded for, could compete for the starting quarterback job.
Kyle's a young quarterback. He's had some success. You know, he's good in the locker room. He understands what I'm looking for. He understands what Scotty's looking for, so hopefully we can take that and use it to our advantage with our new team.
That is from the clubhouse with Kyle Bailey on 102.5 FM in Charlotte. Like I said, Kyle Allen's got some juice. Like I said, Kyle Allen's got something here that even Ron Rivera sees. Allen last year subbing in as an undrafted free agent, subbing in, taking over the reins from Cam Newton, helped that Panthers offense at times look really good, much better than it did with Cam Newton. So I think that Ron, okay, maybe he's just trying to light a fire under Dwayne Haskins. That's probably what this is. They probably all hope that Haskins is by far the guy to be their starting quarterback. However, I'll tell you this. I think Kyle Allen can push Haskins, and if he does things the right way, as I've said earlier this week, and Mraz clowned on me, Kyle Allen could have a Brian Hoyer, Josh McCown-esque career, and that's a good career. And every so often, he pops up as a starting quarterback when some team is in desperate need, and that's okay. I don't think we can say that Kyle Allen's a finished product after just one season starting in the NFL. 855-212-4CBS is the phone number. 855-212-4227. Hit us on Twitter as well, DA on CBS. I think it was very irresponsible for somebody to say that the Pat McAfee Show took shots at us, because they did not. They did not do that. And now, I think everybody's like, oh my God, what's going to happen? No, Pat was very complimentary of the show, and we enjoy his show as well. We're all here in this thing together on CBS Sports Radio. People don't want to, in the middle of this pandemic as well, hear media people fighting with one another. So, Mraz, if you could just stop throwing grenades, that would be really helpful, okay? That would mean a great deal to me if you just would not do those types of things.
I agree with you, and I will also say, as much as you're talking about irresponsibility, that, I think, is what we created. I think people knew there was a possibility you or I, probably me, would say something stupid in response and start a fire out of boredom between our shows, and that's not right. We need to be above that.
Well, now you're talking. So why did you do that?
Because I'm an easily poked bear.
Okay.
That's why.
Okay. Do you take it back?
I take it back. I love that show. They do a great job.
Okay. Andrew Bogish is standing by with our headlines this morning. Good morning, Andrew.
I think we have a little technical difficulty with Andrew right now.
Gotcha. I thought Bogish was back with us. Okay, so what is the deal here? Should we just maybe take a break here, come back on the flip side?
I think we're spitballing this thing live on the air. Why don't we come back, and if we give Bogish a couple minutes to reset, we'll kick it at the Bogish out of the top.
Okay, very good. So let's do that. By the way, we were talking about this poll from Zach Gell because he said, who'd you want to be quarantined with? I said, I just think I'd want to be quarantined with my guys because I know them best. However, I think that after like 3 days, we'd all be at each other's throats, and I'd not want to be quarantined with them. So I would say this. This would be my vote on the web poll. If for the first 3 days you're asking me who I want to be quarantined with, I'd say my guys. After that, then one of the other shows, definitely. Just not these guys here, because I think we would be at each other's throats, especially Mraz, who would be just poking fights with everybody in the neighborhood, as you can see. When we come back here on the show, I want to do Peyton Manning's top five moments of his career because he celebrated his 44th birthday this week. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
This year like last year, the best is right here on CBS.
It's the DA Show on CBS Sports Radio.
Remember to tell your smart speaker to play CBS Sports Radio. When you wake up in the morning, simply say, play CBS Sports Radio, and you can listen to us around your house all day long. And wake up with us, get your day started with us, 6 until 10 a.m. Eastern Time, right here on CBS Sports Radio. Coming up, I'm going to give you Peyton Manning's top five moments ever, as he has celebrated his 44th birthday this week. But before we do that, our good friend and kind sir, Andrew Bogish, is in with your headlines this morning. Good morning, Andrew.
DA, good morning. So yes, this should be opening day. Hopefully there is baseball soon-ish. MLB trying to give you something today by airing classic games across their TV partners and streaming partners as well. Commissioner Rob Manfred made his pitch last night on ESPN.
We're making available an unprecedented amount of content to our fans, a social experience to go along with that through social media, because attending a game is obviously a social event for most people. And we hope it'll be a little distraction for
Manfred
people.
Also said he wants his sport to be part of the recovery from coronavirus. They know playing 162 games is highly unlikely, so they'll be creative to play as many as possible. Although not ruining Sean's Thanksgiving, Manfred is hopeful that he can make actual plans for starting the season sometime in May. The NHL has canceled its yearly award show in Vegas and, more importantly, postponed its draft scheduled for late June in Montreal. The league working on a new date, new location, and new format for that draft. Now, staying on ice, kudos to equipment maker Bauer. It was slowing down work at its Canadian factories because of coronavirus, but decided to help the cause instead. Everything kicked back into high gear, and now Bauer is making protective masks for healthcare workers. They've already received over 100,000 orders from across Canada and hope to start delivering next week. Bauer also wants to send the masks to the U.S. The Dallas Cowboys and Dak Prescott reportedly returning to the bargaining table, their first talk since Dallas gave the QB the exclusive franchise tag. Their sticking point apparently remains contract length. The team wants 5 years, Dak wants 4, so his next payday is sooner. NFL Network says the Bengals keeping all options on the table when it comes to Andy Dalton. They could even keep the veteran QB behind Joe Burrow, but that sounds like Cincy asking for better offers via trade for Dalton right now. Ndamukong Suh said to be re-signing in Tampa Bay. It's a one-year, $8 million deal. Suh posted 22 solo tackles, 2.5 sacks last season, while facing the third most double teams in the NFL. And Saints head coach Sean Payton telling WWL Radio in New Orleans he's been cleared of the coronavirus. As for football, Payton says Taysom Hill will be Drew Brees' backup this season, but will keep that utility role. they'll sign a third QB for in-game protection. Dayton sophomore star Obi Toppin declares for the draft, as does Kenyon Martin Jr. He played a post-grad year at IMG Academy in Florida instead of a scholarship at Vanderbilt. And our good buddy Jeremy Jacobs is at it again. The Boston Bruins owner, believed to be worth $3.3 billion, is handing out pay cuts and unpaid leaves. 68 full-time salaried employees are going on leave. They'll get 1 week's salary plus 8 weeks of benefits. Another 82 get an indefinite salary reduction. These are people that work for the Bruins or at TD Garden. And again, Jacobs doing this despite being worth $3.3 billion. DA, back to
you. That's a lot of money, and Jeremy Jacobs being publicly embarrassed to do so, just like the Sixers and Devils owners to do so, is something that should not take public scolding to do what is right. Granted, those owners are losing money, obviously, as we speak. But the right thing to do, obviously, is to take care of the people that take care of you and your arenas. And Jacobs' notorious skinflint is finally catching flack for, again, another situation that is easily within his control to do the right thing, and he did not do so. So it is Peyton Manning's 44th birthday this week, and I decided good opportunity to go through Peyton Manning's legacy and list his top five moments overall. Connor Green, cue the music. There we go. Pump it up. We need this music. Give it to us. We need it. The CBS's NFL theme song. Let's count down from number five. In fact, I'll give you an honorable mention as well. Honorable mention, just outside of the top five, Peyton Manning's greatest moments ever. The 0-3 wildcard win over Denver. You might not remember this because this is now more than 15 years ago, but this was Peyton's first playoff win. He had been in the postseason three times before and lost each and every one of those games. By 0-3, people were wondering, will Peyton Manning win the big one? Can he win a playoff game? Which seems crazy now. He ends up going down in history as one of the greatest ever. The honorable mention in the 0-3 wildcard win over Denver's first playoff victory, 377 and 5 touchdowns. Absolutely torched Denver 2 years in a row, got that monkey off of his back. On to the list, number 5. Do you remember opening night 2013? This was his second season in Denver, and he opened up the season against the Ravens with one of the most spectacular passing performances in NFL history. It was opening night. He threw for 462 yards and 7 scores, no touchdowns. Unbelievable. Think about that efficiency. 462, 7 touchdowns, no interceptions against the Ravens. That was number 5, and we knew that would be a record-breaking season. That was the year he threw for 55 touchdowns and nearly 5,500 yards, both all-time single-season records. The number 4 greatest moment in Peyton Manning's history is his first Super Bowl championship. Huh? You thought I might go this at number 1, right? Not really. It wasn't a great night for Peyton Manning or that Colts offense. You probably remember that Super Bowl in the rain was kind of a sloppy game played. That was the Devin Hester game as well. He outdueled Rex Grossman, but it wasn't a great game from Peyton. He was the Super Bowl MVP, but threw for just 247, a touchdown, and an INT. But the Colts would get the win 29-17, and finally, Peyton Manning had his elusive championship. That's number 4. The number 3 greatest moment in Peyton Manning's history is going back to that 2013 season. He began the year capping that, or began the year rather, with that ridiculous game against the Ravens, and then ended it with the AFC Championship game at home against the Patriots. In 2013, simply Peyton Manning could not be stopped. He threw for 400 yards against the Pats in the AFC Championship game at home and sent the Broncos back to the Super Bowl. That year, unfortunately for the Broncos, they would get waxed by the Seahawks in the Super Bowl. But Peyton Manning against his arch nemesis, the Patriots, and Bill Belichick went 32-43, 400 yards, two touchdowns, no interceptions, for a quarterback rating of 118 in the AFC Championship against Belichick and the Pats, sending him to his first Super Bowl with the Broncos. That's his number three greatest moment. Your number two greatest moment for Peyton Manning was in 2003, the crazy comeback against the Bucks. Remember this? This was in prime time at night, and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, at that point coached by John Gruden, had a 21-point lead with 5 minutes to play, and Peyton Manning had just thrown a pick six. So the Bucs have a 21-point lead with five to play at home in Tampa. And that is when Peyton Manning goes off. It is one of the great shortened comebacks, frenzied comebacks ever. He makes up 21 points in the final 5 minutes. Think about that. He goes down the field and scores three times. Final 5 minutes. This is kind of at the apex of the Colts offense when he's just throwing darts to Reggie Wayne and Marvin Harrison, Edgerrin James, and you just can't stop that offense. He scores 21 in regulation in the final 5 minutes to tie the Bucks and go to overtime, and then they win it 38-35 on an overtime field goal. One of the great frenzied comebacks ever. It was Peyton Manning at his best. That is his number two, in my estimation, greatest moment ever. And his number one greatest performance, in my estimation of all time, is the 2006 AFC Championship game against the Patriots. In this game, you might remember, the Patriots were dominating at the RCA Dome. After years of getting punked in the playoffs by Belichick and the Patriots defense, we kept saying, he'll never solve the riddle. He'll never solve the riddle. He'll never solve the riddle. This was a year they got the Patriots at home in Indianapolis. And that was a big deal, obviously, because the previous years they had lost in the playoffs to the Pats was on sloggy fields, cold fields, outdoors. His receivers couldn't get a lot of traction, and those cornerbacks and secondary of the defense roughed up the Colts. They are indoors in 06, AFC Championship game, Patriots there, and they fall behind 21-3. And it just looks devastating. It's 21-3. The dome is silent, and Peyton Manning's having a terrible game as well. It is once again going to be Manning can't beat Belichick, Brady, and the Pats. And then the Colts go on their run. It's a crazy, wild, high-octane comeback. They end up taking the lead late, and you might remember there is the moment where it looks like Reggie Wayne fumbles the football. It's up in the air. He then corrals it in the air to bring it down. Eventually, the Colts would take the lead. Brady gets one last shot, and the Colts snuff it out with an INT. And the Indianapolis Colts are going to their first Super Bowl with Peyton Manning there. Manning in that game would finish that comeback 27-47 for 349 yards against Belichick and the Patriots to send them to the Super Bowl. That comeback against the New England Patriots, where they won 38-34, in my opinion, is the greatest Peyton Manning moment of his career. Peyton turns 44 years old this week, and that's why we're doing his top five moments ever. By the way, on Pro Football Reference, they also have nicknames, and his two nicknames on this are the Sheriff, which was really weird, because that just became a thing like his final season in Denver, and the Caveman. I don't ever remember Peyton Manning being nicknamed the Caveman, and why do we have that on a very credible site like Pro Football Reference? When we come back, did Bruce Arians throw Jameis Winston unintentionally under the bus yesterday? DA, CBS Sports Radio.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.